Good morning, everyone. I'm Ray LaRose, a member of the team in the New York office of the Association. Thank you for joining us this morning for our December Spiritual Outreach Call. We are very grateful to have Father Ian Jeremiah from Bridgeport, Connecticut, here to speak to us this morning in the first week of Advent about the joy of waiting. Father Ian had his seminary training at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Bridgeport in 2008. Happy 15th anniversary, Father. He currently serves as a pastor of St. Anne Parish in Bridgeport. Father Ian has been a chaplain for the Association since 2014 and is a magistral chaplain in the southern, western, and northern Connecticut area. He has been to Lourdes with the Association 6 times. Welcome, Father Ian.
Thank you very much, Ray. So let me begin by a prayer from St. Anselm. And he says, "Come now, put aside your weighty cares and leave your wearisome toils. Abandon yourself for a little to God and rest for a little in Him. Speak now, my whole heart, speak now to God. I seek your countenance, O Lord, your countenance I seek. Come then, Lord my God, teach my heart where and how to seek you, where and how to find you. O God, show yourself to me who seeks you, because I can neither seek you if you do not teach me how, nor find you unless you show yourself. I do not seek to understand so that I may believe, but I believe so that I may understand. Amen." My brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Live this superior life called Christianity. Isn't it wonderful to spend our lives trying to become like Jesus? But do you find joy missing in your life? Well, let me tell you first a story. As a kid growing up in Malaysia, one thing I enjoyed about Christmas is opening presents, of course. But it was quite a struggle to get to the presents under the Christmas tree. You see, the family, we first had to attend midnight mass. And that's midnight mass as at 12 midnight, not the one at 10 p.m., but 12 midnight. And then after that long midnight mass, my father would insist that we have our big family dinner feast at around 2 a.m. in the morning. Then after the feast, my mother would insist that we all sing Christmas carols for about an hour. And so finally, at the wee hours of 5 a.m., we get to the presents. For me as a kid, it was really hard to stay awake. But the expectation of what awaited the presents kept me going, and going joyfully. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, says, Jesus says that God reveals things hidden from the learned and clever, mere children. Why? Because the little ones are open to instruction, to being helped. They are receptive. If we, therefore, as adults, bring a childlike willingness to be taught, to be led by and to the Savior, we open ourselves to the grace and power of this season. The blessing of Advent and Christmas for anyone will be in proportion to our willingness to have our eyes and ears opened by the Lord. Psalm 33 tells us, "Our soul is waiting for the Lord. The Lord is our help and our shield. In Him do our hearts find joy. We trust in His holy name." St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, "There are 3 steps in the spiritual life. Number 1, loving trust. Number 2, total surrender. Number 3, joy." Once we have prepared and done our best, we should always then turn it over to God. Trust in Him. Surrender to Him. Then we will experience true joy. Now, I dare say we all seek happiness, the whole world. But it is so fleeting, so here today, gone tomorrow. Could it be we are seeking the wrong thing? Peter Kreef, the great Catholic philosopher at Boston College, shares a secret. Instead of seeking happiness, we should be seeking joy. Why? Because the gospel tells us, to all who seek joy, find it. God guarantees it. But shockingly, not all seek joy. We seek happiness instead. And we seek happiness because we want to control happiness. Like, I'll be happy when I'm in Aruba. Or I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when the kids move out. But you see, because we seek to control, to take hold of happiness when we want it, how we want it, it must necessarily be something smaller than ourselves, for then only can we control it. But joy, it is outside our control. It comes as a surprise. Joy is a surprise because it is bigger than ourselves. Yes, we can get happiness sometimes. We can get happiness in us. But joy, it is the other way around. Why? Because Jesus himself says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, enter into the joy of the Lord. Unquote. So, joy is not something that we will have in us. No, we enter into the joy. We are in joy. In a sense, therefore, we don't have joy, but we let joy have us. And to let joy have us, we must give up control. We must trust, surrender, enter into the joy. I heard a priest once say, most people don't really want to do God's will. They really want to do their own will without seriously offending God. And then they put a lot of energy into figuring out how to do that. How sad. Instead, total trust and surrender. But so few people really do it, and that is why so few experience joy in this life. Another way to look at joy and happiness is, well, the difference between Christian joy and non-Christian happiness. Happiness is a feeling of delight and satisfaction that happens when we come into possession of something good. Let's say we win the championship. We experience a feeling of happiness because victory is ours. But in our fallen world, good things wear out. What satisfied us today no longer satisfies us tomorrow. For instance, the league championship, it's a joyful achievement, but it wears off as soon as we start desiring the next step, state championship. Even the greatest earthly happiness, loving another person and being loved by them, can wear off. Sometimes it's broken by infidelity. But in the end, it is always broken by death, the great divider. And that is why earthly happiness, even when noble and deep, is a feeling that comes and goes. But Christian joy is more than a feeling. Christian joy is a virtue. Christian joy is based on this amazing fact, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from Christ's love, as St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. Christ will never be unfaithful, and he will never die. He is always with us, like a good shepherd, always loving us. So the joy that comes from being loved by him never has to wear out. And that is why the saints are able to rejoice even in the midst of life's most horrible sufferings. That is why the faces of the martyrs, even as they step forward to be executed, glow with joy. They know that Christ's love is stronger than every evil and longer lasting than every pain. Now, to experience joy, I first, however, have to recall that I was not created first and foremost to do, but to be. I am not a Christian. I'm not a child of God because of what I do or what people expect me to do. No, I am a Christian. I am a child of God because of who I am ontologically. I am created by God solely out of love to be loved. I am baptized. I have an indelible mark imprinted on my soul, the mark of Jesus Christ. From eternity, especially more so after my baptism, God loves me. I am loved totally, unconditionally. That is a fact. But this is not easy to accept because of our fallen nature. We are submissive to our senses and not convinced in our minds, hearts, and souls that we are loved unconditionally by God, which impacts our sense of self-worth. We are prone then to compare ourselves with others. And Theodore Roosevelt said, "Comparison is the thief of joy," unquote. When we compare ourselves to others, we are often left feeling inadequate, unhappy, joyless. We begin to focus on what we lack rather than what we have, leading to a sense of dissatisfaction with our lives. But in truth, we lack nothing because we are a child of God who loves us infinitely. Psalm 139 tells us, "You form my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works," unquote. So all God wants me to do, to give up all my heart, all my soul, all my mind to him. God wants me to be dependent on him, to move away from pride, from reliance on self. To surrender, I must allow God to be the guide of my life. To let God show me and tell me and remind me who I truly am. My true self-worth comes from my total dependence, trust, surrender to Almighty God who is all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving, eternal, all-forgiving. And I do not have to do anything to earn God's love. I just have to be. Pope St. John Paul II says, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son, Jesus." Unquote. So since God loves me, I am worth everything. And I need to recover and rediscover this joyous fact by waiting on the Lord, as Psalm 27 tells us. And Advent is a great opportunity to rediscover the joy of waiting on the Lord. Advent reminds us of God's faithful love for his people and how his promise was fulfilled in the person Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord." Unquote. This message of hope is addressed to the shepherd. It's addressed to us also today. We too are living by God's promise. We are journeying in faith towards the promised land of eternal glory. What sustains us is the belief that God is faithful to his word, true to his promise, and thus we can actively wait in joy. Yes, Advent is a major period of spiritual preparation. Advent is filled with joyous longing. In Advent, joy and expectation increase day by day, symbolized by the progressive lighting of more candles on the Advent wreath. While Advent directs its appeal a lot to our emotions, it would be wrong to make Advent a sort of sentimental preview of Christmas, as is commonly done in civic and commercial centers. Advent, rightly so, for us, is a time of preparation, a time of holy desire, longing, expectancy, even with joy. Together with all church fathers of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, and even our Blessed Mother Mary, playing prominent roles. To make us worthy of the grace of redemption, Holy Mother Church wants us to experience a spiritual hunger, a spiritual poverty, the need for redemption during the 4 weeks of Advent. The word Advent, in fact, has two meanings: presence and expectation. The first one, presence. The light is present. Christ is the new Adam. He is Emmanuel. He is with us and in our midst. The light already shines, and we must open the eyes of our hearts to see the light, to enter that river of light. But Advent also means expectation. The dark night of evil, it still is quite strong. And that's why we pray in Advent insistently. Come, Jesus. Come. Give power to goodness. Come where falsehood, ignorance of God, violence, and injustice dominate. Come, Lord Jesus, give power to the good of the world. Help us to be bearers of your light, agents of peace, witnesses of truth. Come, Lord Jesus. St. Peter wrote in his letter, "We possess the prophetic message as something altogether reliable. Keep your attention closely fixed on it, as you would on a lamp shining in a dark place until the first streaks of dawn appear and the morning star rises in your hearts." Unquote. My brothers and sisters, this new life, this freedom that we have received by the grace of Jesus Christ should impel us to bear witness to that sure hope. Our Advent must be filled with joyous longing, with joyous expectation. Advent is the end of darkness, looking forward to the coming light. Sin and death are overcome by the light of the world, Jesus, the Son of God. Advent is for us a time of breakthrough from darkness into light. It is truly our new year. And so what breakthrough do you and I want for this new year? Perhaps we want to be more understanding, more kind, more forgiving, holier, closer to God. Yes, we may live in darkness. Others live in darkness, but we can roll it back. We can help the sun to rise in our lives and in the lives of others. We can make the day brighter for everyone, beginning with ourselves. But we cannot do this without Jesus. If anything special is going to happen to us this year, it will have to be in partnership with Jesus Christ. We have got to know him better. He's not just a name. He's got to be a part of our lives. He's got to be our very best friend. He's got to be someone that we speak of, someone that we speak to. We've got to look at the world through his eyes, touch with his hands, hear with his ears. He has got to be real to us. So at the heart of it all is a challenge. We must recommit ourselves to hope through Jesus Christ. And we can only truly hope, desire for something, and expect to receive it when we hope in a person, the person Jesus Christ. Advent is truly a great time to rediscover hope, rediscover Jesus Christ. Psalm 27 tells us, "Lord, thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. Unquote. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Father Ian, for taking the time to prepare your beautiful presentation, and for being with us today, and for all you do. Your continued support of our spiritual outreach program is much appreciated. And thanks to all who joined the call today. The recording will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, January 3rd. Our association's executive director, Deacon Dr. Jeffrey Trexler, will give us a spiritual take on New Year's resolutions. God bless you all and have a great day.